Have you ever looked at, a really big international order for custom steel parts and just thought, wow, how am I possibly going to fund this up front? It's a feeling that came up in our sources. Someone recalled thinking, when I first started importing custom steel parts, I didn't have the cash flow to prepay for every shipment. That feeling that you need this like mountain of cash ready to go, it's super common.
It really is. But the exciting thing is that feeling might not actually match the reality anymore.
Exactly. What if there were specific financial tools out there, tools designed exactly to bridge that gap? So our deep dive today is all about tackling that question head on. How can buyers finance these custom steel parts imports? Our mission really is to cut through the jargon and give you the core insights from our research, the goal, help you preserve your cash flow and, reduce those scary upfront payment risks.
And the headline answer, based on everything we looked at, is a resounding yes. You absolutely can finance these imports. It's a big shift in perspective, isn't it? For a long time, it felt like you needed tons of cash upfront for overseas orders. Impossible otherwise. But the material we reviewed, it makes it really clear. Import financing is built for exactly this challenge. It turns it from an obstacle into, well, a strategic opportunity.
That's a really important way to frame it. Opportunity, not just obstacle. And it's not just one magic fix, right? Our research points to a whole set of tools.
A whole toolkit, yeah. The main ones we'll be digging into are things like letters of credit LCs, buyer's credit, different kinds of invoice financing, and also broader supply chain finance options.
Okay, so letters of credit, buyer's credit, invoice financing, supply chain finance.
Exactly. And these aren't just abstract concepts. They're practical solutions. They directly help you protect your cash flow and manage those significant upfront payment risks we talked about. Understanding these options lets you move from feeling kind of stuck financially to realizing you actually have strategic levers you can pull in your international deals.
Right. So, okay, we have this list of options. Pretty impressive. But if you're staring down a big custom steel order, where do you even start? Which ones should you look at first? What are the sort of concrete loan options for international steel buys?
Good question. Let's get into the specifics. First up, there's the import loan. Think of this as short-term credit designed specifically for buying goods from overseas. And what's key here, something our research really highlighted, isn't just what it covers, which can be like 100% of the goods, the shipping, even VAT sometimes, but how fast it can often be put in place.
Ah, the speed factor.
Yeah, exactly. For custom steel orders, which can be time sensitive, that speed can be a real hidden advantage. It lets you jump on opportunities maybe others miss because their financing is slower.
Okay, that makes sense. Speed matters. Then you mentioned buyer's credit. Our sources suggest that's more like a foreign currency loan, right? Often from banks overseas or these export credit agencies, ECAs.
Precisely. Buyer's credit tends to be great for those higher value imports. The big benefit is it allows you to defer paying your supplier, giving you more breathing room with your cash flow.
More flexibility. Okay.
And then we get into bank-backed assurances. The letter of credit, the LC, that's a classic for good reason. It's basically a guarantee from a bank. Payment only gets released when there's proof of shipment, the shipping documents. This builds a huge amount of trust with suppliers and lowers the risk for everyone involved.
Okay, so the LC is about trust tied to performance, essentially, proof of shipment. But then there's also the standby LC and a general bank guarantee. How do those differ? What's the distinction there according to the material?
Yeah, good point. They sound similar, but they function a bit differently. A standby LC is more like a backup plan. It tells the supplier, look, if the buyer doesn't pay for some reason, the bank will step in. It's an alternative to demanding full prepayment, but it's not the main way you expect to pay.
Right, that's a safety net.
Exactly. Whereas a general bank guarantee is a bit broader. It's the bank promising to cover the payment if the buyer defaults, period. You often see this used when you're starting out with a new supplier, maybe where trust hasn't been fully established yet.
Okay, got it. Backup versus broader default coverage.
And one more, vendor finance. This is simply when your supplier offers you deferred payment terms directly, like they give you credit themselves. This can be really handy if maybe traditional bank financing is proving difficult to get. The supplier essentially takes on that role.
Ah, so the supplier provides the financing directly. Interesting.
Yeah. And what's also really exciting, a development we saw mentioned quite a bit, is that many lenders are now offering zero collateral options for steel and metal goods, especially if you combine the financing with things like insurance or credit guarantees. That makes these tools way more accessible than they used to be.
Wow, zero collateral. That really lowers the barrier to entry, doesn't it? It sounds like like having a financial safety net that lets you aim higher, maybe take on bigger deals without that constant worry about falling short on cash.
That's a great way to put it. The sources definitely suggest importers feel more confident once they understand these tools exist and how to use them.
So we've broken down these specific loan types. How do they fit into the bigger picture? You know, the overall strategy of trade finance for steel procurement. What's the synergy there?
All right, connecting the dots. Trade finance, as our material consistently shows, is very commonly used to fund steel parts procurement. At its core, it's about getting you the upfront capital you need, boosting your liquidity, and just making the whole supply chain run smoother, end to end.
Smoother operations. And some of these tools pop up again, like the letter of credit. Still about ensuring payment only happens upon delivery, protecting both buyer and seller.
Correct. And buyer's credit still helps by delaying your repayment timing, easing that cash flow pressure right after shipment.
Okay, but what about supply chain finance? How does that specifically help keep things moving?
Supply chain finance is quite clever. It typically involves a third-party financier stepping in to pay your supplier early.
Oh, interesting. So the supplier gets paid faster.
Exactly. This keeps your suppliers happy, keeps them motivated, and really helps you avoid those bottlenecks that can happen if payments are delayed. The research suggests this builds much stronger, more reliable relationships with your suppliers, too.
Makes sense. Happy suppliers, smoother supply chain.
Then there's forfaiting. This one's described as a medium-term financing method using negotiable instruments. Think of it almost like selling a future IOU. Let's say you've made a big steel delivery and your buyer owes you a large payment, but maybe not for several months.
Right. Waiting for that payment can tie up cash.
Exactly. With forfaiting, a financier basically buys that future payment, that IOU from you, now at a discount, giving you cash immediately. Our sources point to this being really powerful for those substantial, maybe longer-term steel contracts where you just can't afford to have your capital locked up for ages.
Okay, so it unlocks future payments now. That's a useful way to think about it. And the last piece mentioned was trade credit insurance. How does that fit in?
Trade credit insurance is all about adding a layer of protection, payment protection specifically. It significantly lowers the risk for everyone involved, you, the supplier, the financier. And what we gathered is that this extra security, this peace of mind, can actually lead to getting better trade terms overall, maybe longer payment periods, for example, because the risk is lower.
That makes a lot of sense. Lower risk equals potentially better terms. And with all the, you know, ups and downs and things like tariffs and shipping costs lately, that breathing room the material talks about sounds absolutely critical.
It really is invaluable.
Yeah, it shifts the focus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
From constantly managing cash flow stress to actually thinking about growing the business, maybe pursuing expansion.
Precisely. It enables growth.
Okay, let's switch gears slightly. Let's talk about something that often feels like it's only for the really big companies, purchase order financing or PO financing. I always had this idea you needed to be like a huge multinational for that. But our sources actually push back on that, saying smaller importers can qualify, especially if they have strong orders and, you know, do their homework.
Yeah.
So what are the absolute must-haves to qualify?
Right. It's not just for the giants. The absolute foundation, according to the research, is a verified purchase order. This has to be a real confirmed sale from your end buyer. It proves revenue is coming.
Okay. A solid verified PO. Step one.
Step one. Then you need a detailed supplier. Quote, this confirms the exact cost of the goods, which is crucial for calculating the profit margin. Lenders will also look closely at the buyer creditworthiness, basically. Is your end customer likely to pay their bill?
Makes sense. They need to trust the final payment source.
And this next one is key. A healthy profit margin. Often, lenders look for 20% or more. The material explains this isn't arbitrary, that margin needs to be big enough to cover the financing costs and still leave you with a profit.
Ah, okay. The margin covers the fees. Got it.
And finally, you need to show proven delivery capability. Lenders need to be confident that you can actually get the goods manufactured and delivered successfully. They want to avoid the risk of the whole deal falling apart because of fulfillment issues.
Right. They need to know you can actually execute the order.
Exactly. And once you meet those criteria, the actual process for PO financing is usually pretty straightforward. So first, your end buyer gives you, the importer, the purchase order.
Okay.
Second, you take that PO and your supplier quote, and you apply for financing to pay your supplier.
Right.
Third, if approved, the financier pays your supplier directly, often 100% of the cost.
Okay. Supplier gets paid.
Fourth, the goods get made and shipped directly to your end buyer. And fifth, Your end buyer pays the financier, not you, usually when they receive the goods or when the invoice is due. The financier then pays you your profit minus their fees.
Wow, okay. So the financier handled the direct payment flows.
Pretty much. And this structure is just incredibly powerful. It lets importers take on much larger orders, or as they might never have been able to fund themselves without tying up all their own cash.
That really is a growth engine, isn't it? You're not stuck waiting months for one payment before you can take the next big steel order. It gives you agility.
Huge agility. Seize opportunities as they come.
Okay, speaking of unlocking cash flow, let's pivot to invoice financing. Is that suitable for steel imports? Our sources seem to give it a big thumbs up.
Oh, absolutely. Highly suitable. Especially when you're selling the imported steel parts on credit terms to your own customers. It basically lets you turn those outstanding invoices, your receivables, into cash almost immediately. It's like rocket fuel for your working capital, as you said earlier.
Rocket fuel, yeah. So how does it work? Are there different types?
Yep, there are a few main flavors. With invoice factoring, the finance company, the lender, actually buys your invoices and takes over collecting the payment directly from your buyer.
So they handle collections.
Right. Which can be great for, say, smaller importers who maybe don't have a big collections department. It's more hands-off for you.
Okay. But what if you want to manage that buyer relationship yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Keep collecting the payments directly.
Then invoice discounting might be a better fit. In that case, you still borrow against your invoices, but you remain responsible for collecting the payment from your buyer. You keep that direct contact.
Got it. Factoring is lender collects, discounting is you collect.
Exactly. And then there's also reverse factoring, which is a bit different. It's often part of those bigger supply chain finance programs we mentioned. Here, it's usually the buyer's bank that agrees to pay the supplier's invoices early, typically at a small discount. It helps the buyer optimize their working capital while supporting their suppliers.
Okay, interesting twist there with reverse factoring. So, regardless of the type, what are the core benefits for steel importers using invoice financing?
Well, the big ones are pretty clear from the research. First, accelerated cash flow. You get money much faster than waiting 30, 60, 90 days for your customer to pay. Second, it reduces collection risks, especially with factoring, as the lender often takes on that risk. Third, it can actually help you offer longer payment terms to your buyers, which might make you more competitive.
Oh, right, because your cash isn't tied up waiting.
Precisely. And fourth, fundamentally, it frees up working capital. That freed up cash means you can jump on new inventory orders, fund operations, maybe take on more business.
And practically speaking, how much do lenders usually advance?
Yeah, the sources mentioned typically lenders will advance maybe 80 to 90% of the invoice's value up front. Then, once your customer pays the full invoice, the lender gives you the remaining balance, minus their fees, of course.
80, 90% up front.
Mm.
That's a significant boost to cash flow almost immediately.
It really can be. Game-changing for many importers.
Wow, okay. What a journey through financing options. We've really covered a lot of crucial ground today. So just to bring it all together for everyone listening, remember, if you're importing custom steel parts, you're not alone in facing that upfront cash challenge. But crucially, you have this really quite vibrant ecosystem of powerful financing structures ready to help. We've talked about tools like letters of credit, buyer's credit, those different types of invoice financing, and the broader supply chain finance solutions. These methods are genuinely designed to help you make those international purchases without sucking your working capital dry.
That's the key message. And it's also really important to remember, as we discussed, these methods aren't all the same. They definitely vary in cost, in the level of risk involved, in the paperwork required. But maybe the most strategic takeaway is that they often don't exist in isolation. You can frequently combine them, maybe layer them with guarantees or insurance to negotiate even better, more favorable trade terms. It's about understanding the nuances and finding the right blend for your specific business needs. It gives you real flexibility.
Flexibility and options, that's empowering. So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's maybe a final thought for you to chew on. Now that you have a clearer picture of these diverse financing options, what does that understanding truly mean for how you envision scaling your business? What new global opportunities, maybe ones that felt out of reach before, do you now feel empowered to pursue?